Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Casting a net to catch fish. That's what Jesus has been doing here all week long. Most of you are aware that we held our vacation Bible school during the evenings of this past week. We focused on a simple theme, a fish theme, using that ancient symbol of Christianity, the fish, because of its simple but foundational meaning, the letters of the Greek word fish, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. A pastor and a few VBS teachers were lowering the nets, but it was Jesus casting the net, catching children and adults alike in his gospel. Casting a net to catch fish, it's what Jesus is doing right now. And every Sunday from this place, and every time the gospel is proclaimed throughout the world, it's pastors, teachers, Christians in their lives casting the net, but it's Jesus always there behind the scenes, catching the fish. Jesus the Christ, who came to this earth to seek and to save lost sinners. Jesus, the Son of God, who died and who rose again. Jesus the Savior, who stepped into Simon's boat a long time ago to go fishing, still goes fishing today. To catch men, women, and children for his kingdom. Jesus is the catcher of men. It's Jesus who casts the gospel net, and it's Jesus who fills the gospel net. It was Jesus himself casting the gospel net from his own mouth on the shores of the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, to the people whom God had gathered there according to his grand design, preaching the word of God to them, first from the shore, then from Simon Peter's boat. He preached to them against their sin and rebellion against God. He opened up the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, to them to show them how high God's standards really were, so high that no one can reach them, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He proclaimed himself as their Redeemer, who would bear their sins and cover them with his own righteousness. He proclaimed the forgiveness of sins to all who trusted in him. As he said on other occasions, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus cast the gospel net from his own mouth on that day, but it wouldn't always be that way. After he ascended into heaven, it would no longer be the visible mouth of Jesus casting the gospel upon the world, but he would still be doing it. He would be doing it through his disciples, through their mouths, casting the gospel out into the world. The thing is, in Luke chapter 5, he didn't have any disciples yet. No full-time followers, no called apostles. So here it begins. Here he calls Peter and his companions to go out onto the sea in their boat, to take him with them, to cast their nets and have a catch of fish that day. You heard that they had worked all night and hadn't caught a single fish, hadn't found any fish out on the lake, came up empty. But now at the word of Jesus, they cast their nets, and you know how that turned out. Jesus gave them this great catch of fish, this great miracle, this miraculously large catch of fish that day, not to prove to them that he was the Son of God who had the power to do it, although he is the Son of God who had the power to do it, not to show his grace to them in giving them this physical blessing of a great catch that they could go and sell, although he is gracious and did give them that great blessing. The point of this miracle is revealed in Jesus' words to Peter at the end. From now on, you will be catching men. Just like Jesus cast the word of God, the gospel, from his mouth to the people that day, so Jesus' disciples would do just the same thing, cast the gospel from their mouths, just as Jesus was the one who led them out to where they would find the fish and bring in a catch for them. So it would be that Jesus would always put his apostles right where he wanted them, to cast the net with their mouths, although it would be Jesus in the background always casting the net through them, catching souls for his kingdom. Jesus put his disciples right where he wanted them. For example, on the day of Pentecost, in Jerusalem he placed them. And at the same time, in his grand design, he brought people from all over the world to Jerusalem on that same day. He poured out his Spirit on Peter and the other apostles, and Peter cast the gospel net. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And 3,000 souls were caught in the net on that day. Peter did the preaching, but it was Jesus in the background, gathering the people, casting the net. It was Jesus catching men for his kingdom. He's been catching men for his kingdom ever since. He does it through this blessed office of the holy ministry, into which he called Peter and the other apostles that day, into which he called Elijah and Elisha many, many centuries before that. He still calls men through his church into this same apostolic ministry to go and preach the word in this place and that throughout the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, and administering the sacraments through which Jesus himself comes and hands out the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he won on the cross so long ago. Jesus is also there casting his gospel net when a Christian witnesses to a friend in your home or someplace else. He's there casting his gospel net when we speak his word to our children, to our neighbors, to our families. That simple message, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Not all Christians are called into the public ministry of the word. But the very same Peter who was called into that public ministry says to all Christians, the words that you heard in the second lesson today, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks about the reason for the hope that is in you. There's your chance. Cast the net, but realize that it's Jesus himself casting the net. Jesus himself who arranged that opportunity. Jesus himself who has prepared the person who will hear. Jesus doing the catching. He puts us right where he wants us. It's never an accident. Every conversation that turns to spiritual things, every Bible or gospel tract that someone picks up and reads in a waiting room somewhere, every divine service celebrated, every Bible class or Sunday school lesson taught, every vacation Bible school held, all of it has been arranged by Jesus. This casting of his gospel net. It's not chance. It's not even our plan that has worked out. It's his plan. His casting. That's Jesus' way of casting his net. He does it through us. He sails out into the world with his church, and through his church finds the fish. There's this doctrine that we call the doctrine of election. It's a simple doctrine, in a way confusing, I guess, if you don't know the simple explanation of it. But all it is that God chose in eternity those whom he would save through faith in his Son Jesus. And faith comes by hearing the gospel. And so in his design, in his plan, Jesus has arranged through his church to cast the gospel net to find every one of those elect in the world, wherever they are, whenever they are. Isn't that a great comfort for us? Our goal as a church is not to grow. It's not to shrink either, and it's not to maintain the status quo. Our purpose as a church is not to be effective in our community. We have one purpose as a church, one task. Our purpose is not to bring in more people or to keep people away or to keep people here. Our Master, Jesus, the catcher of men, has given us one task, one purpose, one goal, to cast the gospel net with the full assurance that he is there, that he is the one doing the fishing, that he is the one doing the catching. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, that's our message. That's not to say that everyone who hears that message will be caught, will believe it, and be saved. Far from it. But as a Lutheran preacher said about 100 years ago, even though many people, most people, run away from the Lord and his word and are lost, some, a good number, are won, converted, and saved. Those who are supposed to come, they come. Those who are supposed to hear, they hear. From the number of the elect, not one is left behind. Jesus, the catcher of men, is there, is here with his church, casting the net. And Jesus, the catcher of men, is also the one who fills the net. You remember how Jesus' disciples had worked all night trying to catch fish, trying, working hard, and had caught nothing. That was no accident either. Jesus, the ruler of the seas, planned for his disciples to come up empty after working hard all night. That too was part of the lesson that he would teach them this following day. The more important lesson on how the souls of men would be caught. Jesus had them come to grips with the fact that their hard work would never catch a single fish. No bait would work. No coaxing of the fish into the nets would help. No mistake or weakness on their part would hinder Jesus, the catcher of men, from catching men. They had to despair of themselves and all of their efforts and all of their work and look to Jesus alone to fill the nets with fish. And fill them he would, because only when Jesus sends his Holy Spirit, only there can someone who hears the gospel believe the gospel and be caught in the net of Jesus' kingdom. The same is true today. Jesus is the one who fills the gospel net, who draws people to his word and through his word to himself, who catches people for his kingdom. We should never dare to try to sell Jesus to people. We should never dare to try to market Christianity or our church to people. Oh, how easy and pleasant it always is to be a Christian. You should try it. Oh, how wonderful our church is, how comfortable the people are, so friendly. We have such good potlucks, and the music is nice. It's foolishness. That's not what you tell people about your church. That's not the gospel net. That's bait fishing. And there's no bait fishing in the kingdom of Christ. You may well fill a church building with people that way, but you will never fill Christ's kingdom with people that way. There's one way, and it's done by Jesus, who sends his Spirit, who always sends his Spirit wherever the gospel is rightly preached, wherever the sacraments are administered in accordance with Christ's institution. That's where Jesus works to fill his net with fish. You can't help the Holy Spirit. You can't hinder the Holy Spirit either. Where his word is preached, there he's adding souls to his kingdom. But don't try to judge the catch either by how big or how fast a church is growing. And don't imagine that you can judge the catch to be poor if a church's membership is declining. You have to see the catch as Jesus sees the catch. One gigantic net throughout the world, throughout the centuries, where the gospel is preached and people believe and enter Jesus' kingdom. He doesn't see one church growing or shrinking and say, oh, the catch is good or bad. There's one catch. And if you could see, as Jesus sees, the one church, the one catch throughout time, throughout space, sinking the nets into the ocean. If you could see all of the people from every nation, tribe, language, and people that is caught in that net and that will yet be caught in that net, you would be astonished. You would be astonished like Peter and his companions were when they saw the massive catch sinking their nets when Jesus was with them in their boat. You would be astonished like them, and like Peter, you would fall down at Jesus' knees in fear. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Like Peter, you would recognize that you don't deserve to be caught in the net. You don't deserve to be in the boat with Jesus. You haven't done anything better or made any better choice than any of the many who are perishing, and yet you have been given forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. Recognize, like Peter, that you are a sinner, and I am a sinner. Recognize that you don't deserve to be in this net. But when you recognize that, don't tell the Lord Jesus to go away from you, and don't go home downtrodden and despairing. Because just as Jesus spoke to a sinner named Simon Peter, so he speaks to every frightened and downtrodden sinner. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because Jesus has not come to destroy you. He knows full well that you don't deserve to be caught in his net, that you did nothing to be caught in his net, but he wants you there anyway. Don't be afraid. That's what you've come to hear Jesus speak to you again this morning through the mouth of your pastor. Don't be afraid. It's no accident that you have wound up here this morning, any one of you. It's no accident that the children who did come to VBS this week and their parents came. Jesus had it planned long ago. Here is the evidence that he wants you in his kingdom. Here is his net. That's part of his plan. You're part of his plan, that sinners like you, sinners like me, should hear his gospel, that we should believe. Because where his gospel is cast, there he is catching people for his kingdom. There he is forgiving sins. There he is uniting people to his holy church, so that you may know Jesus Christ, God's Son, your Savior, so that you may be brought into his kingdom, live eternally with him, be brought into his church, and even be used as his instrument to catch others for his kingdom. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.